would rather be here with you. And so we pray for them and lift them up before the Lord today. To all of the fathers, I say to you, happy Father's Day. It's a blessing to be able to celebrate alongside of you. I am very blessed to be a father to some great kids. And my kids are all grown. They're not really kids anymore, but they're always our kids, aren't they? And grandfather to some great, no, not great grandchildren, but wonderful grandchildren. Let me be careful there. I'm not that old yet. And it won't be long. I've got an 11-year-old grandson. I'm still playing softball with my sons on Thursday nights, and you can play when you're 18. I told Tyler the other night, if I can hang on 7 more years, we'll have 3 generations out here. And I don't know what I'd be worth anything, but I could get out there and hand them water or something maybe. At any rate, I'm blessed to be the pastor of the most wonderful church in the world, and I just want you to know that we love you and appreciate you. And if you would go with me to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, maybe I could say something this morning that would be a blessing to our fathers that are here, our fathers that may be watching our service today. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, where the Word of God speaks to us and calls us not old man, but O man. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Turn around and shake a hand or two and tell them how glad you are to be in the house of the Lord with them today. Would you do that? Thank you, Jesus. Love you, brother. Love you, Pastor, to be here with you today. If it's a father, tell him happy Father's Day. Lord, anoint the word today in the name of Jesus, and you may be seated in the name of the Lord. Thank you for standing. Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah says, this is the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And he says, when you find it, first of all, you got to look for it. You've got to ask for it. You've got to search it out. And then he says, when you find it, walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. So Jeremiah tells us that the Lord says that we need to, first of all, and you know, we men, how many of, now don't, we don't do a poll, but we men, by and large, what's one thing we don't like to do when we're traveling? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows we don't like to ask for directions. If we're putting something together, most of us don't like to read the instructions. Well, I don't know what it is about us. We'd just soon try to do it. I don't know if it's an ego thing or just a patience thing, but I don't know how many flat box furniture items I've put together wrong and had to go back and fix some of them. I just leave them. I don't tell my wife. I didn't know it was made that way. No, I don't really do that. And then I'll go back to the instructions and find out what I should have done that I didn't do. And you ever put something together, men, get done, and you got some pieces left? And they didn't give you extra pieces, trust me. There's something's not right. And so we've got to go back. And when we're driving somewhere or traveling somewhere, of course now we have GPS, but back in the day when we needed to stop and ask for directions, we don't like to do that. We'd just soon drive lost half the day than to admit that we don't know where we are. And this is really what the Lord is saying, that we need to, rather than just, and this is the way we are sometimes, we will go the wrong way, go in the wrong direction, and the Lord says, you need to slow down, and first of all, you need to stand. You need to slow down and just stop and stand and see where you are. Stand in the ways, he says, and then you need to see, open your eyes and see where you are, see where you're going, get your bearings. And then he says, And you need to ask. Oh, that's hard for us men to do. But we need to ask. Hey, I'm traveling. I don't know if I've lost my way. Can you tell me where are the old paths? We don't like to do that. Now, your wife will say, stop and ask, stop and ask, stop and ask. And we need to stop and ask. The Bible says we need to ask. Where are the old paths? I'm looking for the old paths. He says, so look for the old paths. Where is the good way? Men, walk therein. And he says, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you know that there's many times that we bring our own stress into our own lives? We just bring it in. There are people today that are stressed out. They'll complain about this, complain about that. And it's a lot of it's stuff they've just brought on themselves. They don't slow down. They don't seek God's word. They don't seek good counsel. They just bring stress on themselves. But the Bible says we need to stop. Men, you need to stand. You need to look. You need to see. You need to ask. You need to find. And when you find it, then when you find it, don't walk in the wrong way. Don't walk in some new path. But he says, find the old paths, and then when you find it, now you can begin walking, and then you can have rest and peace. And there's nothing like laying down at night and putting your head on your pillow and knowing that you're right with your God, and you're right in the word, and you're right with your family, and you're right with your job, and things are just right. And he says that's where you'll find peace and rest for your souls. Now, there's another scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12, and it says this: there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. You like the way they're putting it on us men today. That's why I'm preaching these things. It's Father's Day. It seems right unto a man. I don't know. You women must have it all figured out. No, we know this is talking about humanity, but since it's Father's Day, I'll put it on us men. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. I'm going to tell you, I am the living epitome of this scripture when it comes to directions, when it comes to knowing where I'm going. I've lived in this county my whole life. I've grown up in Bloomington. I've lived in Ellettsville, but I am the king of U-turns. My wife, when she's riding with my wife's one of these people, she gets in the car. She's got it all. She's like got a built-in GPS. She's already figured out in her mind, this is the route I need to take. When I get here, I'll turn left, and there's traffic over there, and they're doing construction over there, and you know, and the students are back, so we don't want to go there. I just get in the car. I point it east, you know. And I may be trying to go west, but at least I get in the general direction. And then when I get, I'll find myself in traffic, and she'll say, why did you go this way? Often she'll say, wait, don't turn here, go turn here. And so I just learn, I'm either listening to a female voice in real life, or I get Siri to tell me where to go. I'm comfortable. I'm so glad that's a female voice. If it was a male voice, I'd just tell him to be quiet, you know. But I'm used to a woman saying, no, stop, no, turn, no. And Siri, now my wife usually tells me before I need to do the U-turn, but Siri, she'll wait till you've gone a little way now. She'll say, now do a U-turn at the next. So I know what this means when it says there is a way which seemeth right, but it's not right. And this is what the writer says. There's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof. How many know if you're going the wrong way, it doesn't matter. You can go faster. You can go slower. You can gripe. You can say, I'm going the right way. You can argue with everybody that's trying to tell you you're going the wrong way. But if you're going the wrong way, the end of that way will not bring you where you need to be. The end thereof are the ways of death. Men, sometimes we just need to stop and correct our course. We're off course. Okay, so I've given you a few scriptures here. These are good scriptures. Micah tells us, the one I opened with, Micah, he said, the Lord has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. And then Jeremiah says, look, stop. Stop, ask, find it. When you find it, walk in it. And the writer in Proverbs reminds us, oh, well, by the way, if you don't do that, you'll mess up. If you don't stop and ask and seek and find the right way, you'll end up in the wrong way, because there's a way that to all of your senses seems right, but it's not right. and it will lead you to the ways of death. Okay, so I was thinking on my drive here this morning, I now have time to do that. I have time to think on my 35-minute drive to church. You'll hear me whine about that for a few months, okay? Just get used to that. Some of y'all have been driving for a long time. Brother Southern, I get no sympathy from him, all those people that drive for years, but I'm used to a 30-second drive. But on my way in today, I was thinking, I don't know what took me there, but I was remembering a few years ago, and it's a place that I frequent, and I think it's the gym. I'm not sure, either that or a restaurant. But some place that I frequent, I go there often, and they had, I think it might have been the restaurant. But they had either resealed or repaved, I don't remember which, the parking lot. And so it was fresh, clean, black pavement. Where yesterday, no, you're getting ahead of me, and that's not where I'm going. I didn't run the blacktop. I heard somebody going, oh, no. Here's the issue. The day before, there were nice white lines telling everybody where to park. This is where you park. And all these people I go there all the time. Brother Monty, all these other people, they go there all the time. And we pull in, we whip. You know, just like you whip your car in the parking spot, hop out, run in, come out. And everybody's parked in a nice, orderly line. But you take those lines away. And it's amazing. I looked out across the parking lot and cars were just everywhere. And that drives an OCD person crazy. Everything needs to be lined up and perfectly parked. And so, man, I looked out across there and there's cars just facing everywhere. They didn't. And it was people that park there all the time. I didn't know where to park. The lines were gone. So if the first person parks wrong, you just pull up beside them and you park wrong. Just try to eyeball it. Well, maybe this is where. Or you do that on when it snows and it covers up the lines and you can't see where to park. But the Lord spoke to me through that and reminded me that even when we have a general sense of what we think we ought to be doing, when there's no lines, when there's no guidelines, we really are lost. And so when they got the lines repainted, all that disorder went away. All the chaos was gone and everybody started parking correctly again. But we need those lines. Are you with me? We really do need those lines. Driving through Bloomington right now is a challenge. Driving on 37, 69. Right now is a challenge. Why? Because a lot of the lines aren't there. Or if they are there, they're old lines. You're not supposed to use them anymore. You got to watch the barrels. I've twice in the last 2 weeks ended up on the wrong side of barrels. Isn't that awful? One time I was going the wrong way on a one-way. Yeah, I know. You got to pray for me. There's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, you need to pray for your pastor every day. That's a weird feeling. But it's just because you got to really watch where the barrels are. So you've got to watch the guidelines. We have this, most of us have a general sense. You know, the Bible talks about there was a time where the Lord winked at ignorance. Before there were 66 books that we call the Bible, before the Lord made a perfect sacrifice on Calvary, the Lord winked at a certain amount of ignorance. It was just people being guided in different dispensations. They were guided by different things. They were guided by their conscience. They were guided in another dispensation. They were guided by the law. There was times where men were trying to govern themselves, all of these different dispensations. But now the writer in the New Testament, Paul says, God no longer winks at ignorance. Now that winking at ignorance, it means he just kind of turned a blind eye to it. He just, okay, they're doing the best they can, and men would just kind of, I got a general sense, there are no lines, I think I'm supposed to park here. So life was just kind of like a clean, no line parking lot, and men and women were just, well, I think this is what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to try to please the Lord. That's why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't have preachers in his life. He didn't have the Bible in his life. He didn't have a cross in his life. He just, Lord, I'm just, his conscience guided him, and he tried, okay, Lord, I think this is where I should park today. I think this is where I should drive today. I'm trying to do the best I can. And everybody else just said, I don't even care about lines. I don't even care about direction. I don't care about what pleases God. Everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he was doing the best he could. We're not Noah, and we're not in the Old Testament, and we're not in the dispensation of conscience. We're in the dispensation of grace. We're in the church age, which means, oh, aren't you glad you've got a Bible? So now the lines have been painted for us. We don't have to wonder how to live. We know how to live. We know where to park. We know where to drive. We know how to. So when Micah says, hey, oh man, what is good? You don't have to wonder what is good. I don't have to stand up here and pontificate from my own thoughts for an hour and tell you this is what I think is good. I think this would be good. We know what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? We don't have to wonder. We know what the Lord requires of us. I'm thankful for fathers who will step up in our society today and assume their God-given role and responsibility in the family. Aren't you thankful for fathers that will do that? Why don't you just appreciate them right now? Fathers, thank you. Fathers who you say, you know what? This is what the Word of God says. This is the way we're going to live. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go to church when it's church time. We're going to pray every day. We're going to read the Word of God. We're going to set an example for our children. I'm talking about, we celebrate those kind of fathers. Amen. And this text describes really the basic responsibilities for being a man. But let me say this, when a man becomes a father, those responsibilities, they expand. I love being a husband. I really do. And I love being a pastor. And those things are right up there. I mean, I think if I had to pick my favorite thing, my favorite role, what I've enjoyed thoroughly is as being a father. Now, I don't want to offend my wife with that. I think she would agree that raising our children has been, we couldn't do that without being a good husband and a good wife. She gave me a really sweet Father's Day card this morning, and I said, honey, I couldn't be a good father if I didn't have a good wife who was a good mother. I wouldn't be any good at all. I don't feel like I would. A lot of what I am is attributed to her, if I've done anything worthwhile at all, anything good at all. But I think that one of my favorite things, my favorite role, has been being a dad to my three kids, and now I have two wonderful daughter-in-laws, and I have a handful, literally five, of the sweetest grandkids. Four little boys and one sweet little princess, and they're just sweet. And I thoroughly enjoy being a grandfather. I really do. I'm glad, you know, I'm kind of glad I got to be a grandpa when I was young enough to really, still young enough to just enjoy them and play with them and all of that. And I'm blessed in that regard. I was thinking about my life, and you get to an age, you start doing inventory, thinking back, looking back. I pray that the footsteps I have left behind are worthy of my children, my grandchildren following in. I will say this, I have known preachers, I don't get this, I don't pretend to get this. I've known preachers who would say, oh, I would never want my kid to be a preacher. I don't want my kids to be a pastor. I get that. There are headaches involved in the ministry. There's no church headache. I mean, there's no headache like a church headache. I'll be honest with you. There's no trouble like church trouble. And when you're the pastor, you get to be in the middle of all of that junk sometimes. But all the junk aside, and there is junk involved, it's a blessing. And I've never, ever begrudged coming to church and pastoring this church. And when I look and say, you know, I just feel like it's one of the highest calls the Lord could put on a life is to go and preach the Word of God and to minister into the lives of people. And I am very blessed that my son Jordan is answering the call. I listened to his sermon a couple weeks ago when he stood here and preached about patience. And oh, wow, it blessed me in more than one way. It blessed me as a dad, but man, it blessed my heart to receive that word and to see. So I pray. Now, I've made my blunders. I've made, so many mistakes, but I pray that I've sought, Lord, what is the right way? What is the old path? Let me walk therein. Now, have I walked straight and narrow? Not all the time. But I've always tried to be honest enough with my kids to say, look, you don't want to do that. When you're walking in my footsteps, you're going to find some that I had to do some U-turns, and I went up the wrong way on a one-way exit. You don't want to do that. There were times I pulled into the parking lot and I didn't see the lines and I parked off. You don't want to do that, you know. So we need to be honest enough with our kids to say, I'm human. I've made some mistakes. But here, I've always tried to get back on the straight and narrow path. Walk in my steps. I hope we don't have to say to our kids, do as your mom says, not as I do. Or do as I say, not as I do. Hopefully they can look at your life and emulate the example that you leave for them. Amen. But I just thoroughly enjoy being a dad, being a grandpa. We went a few weeks ago. So my wife and I now, we have our two boys, of course, are raised, and they've got their own families. And my daughter's still at home, going to college, but living with us still. And so what we've started doing, we do like to travel. We like to get away once in a while. And this year we're doing more of it than we normally do, by the way. I say that so you'll know when I go away again in a few weeks that we don't normally go away this often in the year. But my wife's turning a significant age. It's a new decade age. And she threw a big surprise party for me last year, and she told me, I don't want a party. I just want to go away for a few days. And she's going to let me go with her. Isn't that great? I talked her into letting me go. So we're going to go down to Nashville, Tennessee for just a few days here in a few weeks for her birthday. But anyway, so we like to travel. We like to go on vacation sometimes. And we have always had taken our family with us, but now it's down to us and Abigail. So what we've started doing is my wife came up with the idea of inviting our grandchildren to accompany us on vacation. So a few months ago, we took Mason with us on spring break, and that was pretty fun, and we took him to Florida. And then a few weeks ago, we were supposed to take Callahan, and Wrigley was supposed to go with us to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, for several days, or about a week. So, of course, Wrigley's 5, and she was all about going until the night before when we brought him to spend the night at our house. We were supposed to get up the next day and leave, and she started having second thoughts. She let us know before she went to bed, I'm not going tomorrow. And she kept reminding us, I'm going home in the morning. You remember now, I'm not just spending the night. I'm not. So we took Callahan with us. So Callahan, has anybody here ever been to Pigeon Forge? Been to Comedy Barn? Good, clean humor. It's good fun. If you're ever down there, I recommend it. Play this to them. Let them know that I'm advertising for them. One of the things they do in their show is they do a lot of comedy. I mean, a lot of, I started to say congregation, but audience participation. And so they'll get, you know, you've been there. You come on up here. We've been going to that show for probably 20 years, 25 years. And I've never been called on stage because I pray very hard before we go. but I forgot to pray the last time. So I got called up on stage, and they just basically, Brother Southern's been up there. They make fun of you for the sake of some good laughs out there. You just might as well just go up there and take it, you know. So they said, I need somebody, and my wife and Callahan and Abigail are right here. So I get called up. If you've ever seen one of the things they do, they have a guy, he tells a story. He has the audience participate. They're the wind, they're the rain. Then he has different, you know, actors. So I was one of the actors. I got taught on the scene. So I've never been in a drama at church. There's a reason. There is a reason. I'm terrible at acting. So he says, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Oh, he loved that. He said, well, tonight you're the villain. He said, you have to lurk. So he showed me how to lurk to music. You know, dun, dun, dun. So I'm up there making a big fool of myself and lurking. And then he says, now you're going to kick the door in and say, I'm going to get you. So I'm supposed to be coming in to get this poor little helpless lady. And somebody else comes in and shoots me. And I had to fall to the ground. It was a really big deal. My wife has the video. I'm sure she would sell you a copy for a small fee that would go to the youth fund or something. But while I was up there doing that, there was probably 250, 300 maybe, I don't know, would you say, Cindy, people there, 300 or so people there. But the only people I cared about at that moment of entertaining and laughing, I didn't care that everybody, I was up there making a big buffoon of myself. I did not care because I saw my wife and my daughter and my grandson laughing their heads off. And I thought, this is really cool. This is really cool. I would have done that. I would have gone home to the condo that we were staying in and just done it there for them. You know, hey, what's this? You know, just to entertain, because they're my family. Those are my kids, and those are my grandkids, and that's a moment that they'll never forget. Papaw, Dad, husband being up on the stage, laying on the floor dead. You know, acting like an idiot, but. It's family memories, those kind of things that's all really at the end of it all. I understand my friends may come and go. You all may fire me someday. But my family's always going to be my family. My family will never stop being my family. That's what really matters. You dads, here's what I'm saying. Get it right with your family. Get it right with your family. Let me give you a few scriptures, and I'm going to get out of the way. At the end of this, we're going to have our kids are going to come in. Brother Alot, you want to let them know I'm running way ahead? I'll probably be done in about 5 minutes, if they can accommodate that. I never thought you'd hear me say that, did you? So Micah says, he showed you, man, oh man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee? To do justly. Matthew 6:33. A godly father, men, will love God. Before you can get anything else right, you've got to get this thing right with God. And 6:33, Jesus says in Matthew, but seek ye first to be a good dad. Is that what it says? To be a good husband? No. Seek ye first a good job. Seek ye first to make money. No, I gotta stop doing that, or we won't be 5 minutes, will we? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And here's my point. You won't get, you say, well, Brother Hawkins, I thought you said the family was more. My family is so important to me that I've got to get my relationship with God right, or I will not be right with my family. I cannot be the husband that I need to be. And that my wife deserves me to be. I will not be the father that my kids, and now my grandkids, by the way, need me to be if I don't seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to meddle just for a moment here, but I hope it would help somebody and not offend somebody. I told you I've got three of them raised. Listen to me. Two boys and a girl. We did not miss church for ball games. My kids played sports, but they didn't play sports when it was church time. We did not miss for ballet. My daughter wasn't in ballet, but if she was ever in ballet or gymnastics or anything else these girls get in, we wouldn't miss church for that. Because I had to seek first the kingdom of God. And Brother Gunderman, that meant I had to show them. First comes the kingdom of God. First, if you want to do an extracurricular activity at school, wonderful. I applaud it. I encourage it. But you better check the schedule. Or you better have a conversation. My daughter was in marching band. She thoroughly enjoyed being in marching band. But we had an understanding with the director. I want her to be in there, but if you do stuff on Wednesday nights, we have church. That comes first. And he respected that. I'll move on then, all right? I can tell when I'm getting shut down. It's still true. Whether you amen it or not, it's still the truth. This is where your kids need to be at church time. Ephesians 5:25. A godly father will love his wife. And Paul says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'll stop there. There's a lot more to be read, but let's stop there and just say that you cannot be a narcissist and be a good husband. You can't put yourself first and be a good husband. How did Christ deal with the church? He put us first. And so he gave himself for it. Husbands, as a good dad, you will put the needs of your children above your own desires, your own needs. A godly father will love his wife and be a good husband. A godly father will love his children. In fact, the most important thing you will ever do for your children has nothing to do with money, nothing to do with sports, nothing to do with recreation, nothing to do with vacations. And I'll throw in here, because I always like to remind you of this, you're not their friend. You are their parent. God gave you children to raise, not to slap high fives all the time and tell them how wonderful they are. That's all great. Build their little self-esteem, but they better understand at the end of the day, you're dad. You're dad. Amen? And there's some authority behind that. But you do that with love, and you've got to. So it's not about any of those things. You've got to set before them an example. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So, don't miss your children's childhood. You only got one chance with them. I try to instill this in parents all the time, but you have absolutely one opportunity to train them up in the way they should go. They get to a certain age, and even the government says they're not your kids anymore. They are now adults. They do whatever they want to do. And some of you, it's not even when they get 18. It's some of you, we got mamas that are trying to raise families without dad around, and that boy gets a certain size, gets enough muscles. And you can criticize if you want to, but if you've never been in those shoes, don't criticize. Amen. And so you got to understand that you've got one shot to train them up. That means when they're little. And I hope you never think I'm up here bragging. I'm just trying to tell you there's a right way to do this and there's a wrong way to do this. All of my babies, all my wife's babies, all, by the way, I shouldn't have said it like that. Our babies, all right? I don't have babies and she has babies. Our babies were in church, and back then they didn't say, well, you got to keep them in the house and protected for 2 years before you have contact with other humans, whatever they say now. I don't know. They try to keep them under a bubble. But back then it was just, you know, you brought them home from the hospital. You might stop at McDonald's on the way home from the hospital. Throw your kids in there, let them play in those ball things, you know, or whatever. They were in church. First Sunday they could be here, they were in church. They don't know anything else. They don't know anything. They never even got to a point, Brother Gunderman, where they thought on Wednesday night I might be able to do this instead of that. Church camp rolled around. They never crossed their mind not to go to church camp. Best place our kids can be in the summer is church camp. Children's services never crossed their mind that they may not go to a children's service. Never crossed their mind they may not go to Sunday school. We never even made it an option. It was just, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is who you are. Oh, this is really good. Oh, I wish you were amen of me as good as I'm preaching it. That sounded pretty good. A godly father will be a man of integrity. And in our text, the Bible says to do justly, to walk uprightly. And it's almost a forgotten quality, I hate to say. Because Hollywood and media and politicians and educators, everywhere we look, people are letting us down, aren't they? Amen. They're lowering the bar. But that, and listen, you can pick it and you can boycott all you want to, but we're not going to change our society. But that shouldn't be the case in the church. We are called to rise above that and to be men of integrity. Integrity should permeate every area of our lives. In the workplace, we give an honest day's work. In the home, we fulfill our promises. In our personal business, we meet our financial obligations. We pay off our loans. We pay off our debts. We don't owe people money and not pay it off. In other relationships, we fulfill our commitments. If we say it, we do it. We show respect to those in authority. Your kids shouldn't hear you badmouth the pastor. Your kids shouldn't hear you talk about the pastor's wife. Not putting her down, I should say. Your kids shouldn't hear you talk about the police like they're the enemy. And teachers at school like they're out to get your kids. You need to teach them to respect those in authority. We are called to be men of integrity. Can you say amen? Fathers, happy Father's Day to you. Now what we want to do is we're going to bring our children in. We would like all of our dads to go ahead and allow them to come in if they're ready. We want all of our kids and our young people to be here for our celebration. We want to honor our dads by having you to come forward. So let's all stand. And if you're a father here today, we want you to come up and just stand up around the front. We're just going to honor you and pray over you today. So all the dads, if you'd come, just stand around the front, turn around and face the congregation, and we'll pray for you today. And on your way out, in a little while, we have, my wife's prepared a nice little gift back there for you. Please don't leave without getting one. In fact, it's a nice church mug with some candy in it. You can start your mornings off with a Turning Point cup of coffee. Amen. And then also there's a photo backdrop there on your way out. So grab your family and let them snap a quick picture of you and be a nice memory of Father's Day at Turning Point. Man, what a great group of men. Men, I'm not going to get you up here on the stage and make you look like a buffoon like they did me at Comedy Barn, okay? I want you to be up here so we can honor you and respect you. These are men living in a world where it's not even popular to be a man anymore, to be honest with you. Men are maligned in movies and shows, and anybody who tries, I mean, we're living in a world and a society where we're trying to throw gender lines out the door. And anybody who's masculine is thought to be oppressive. And I think masculinity, isn't that a thing from God? I think the Bible talks about men should not act effeminate. And so, you know, men, we ought to celebrate men who still go to work and earn a living and pray for their families and stand up for their kids and come to church. I commend you for being in the house of the Lord today. Would you let them know how much you appreciate them out there, please? Happy Father's Day. I want us to pray over them right now that God would just Bless them with a fresh touch, a fresh anointing, a fresh strength. And man, I'm not going to ask you to hold hands, but why don't you just lay a hand on each other's shoulder, all right? Would you do that? That's all right. And let's pray for one another. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for these godly men who are in the house of the Lord this morning. Fathers, they are in a day, Lord, when all hell comes against us. And God, I pray right now that you'll bless these men of God. Strengthen them, Lord. Encourage them, I pray. Give them a fresh anointing, Lord, in their lives, in their marriages, in their homes, Lord. Help them, God, to lead their families. Help them, Lord, to bring their children, Lord, along. Help us, God, to walk in your ways. Lord, to walk in the old paths. Lord, to walk in the right way, we pray. God, help them, Lord, every day of their life to step circumspectly before you, to be led of you, to be directed of you, Lord, I pray. Make us to be good husbands, good fathers, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have good camaraderie among one another as brothers in the Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, we give you glory, we give you praise, and we ask it all, and everybody say, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We thank you for it, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hila baboroto kushai alata. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'll end with this family revival that we have prayed for years. Brother Axum, my wife's grandfather, I've got his toolbox in the back of my truck right now. When he passed away, there were things that were left there, and some of the kids said, if you guys want anything, and I went over there, and there his toolbox was, Brother Southern, it's huge. And so when I moved, I combined my tools, which contained some of my granddad's old tools, with his tools. I had to get rid of some stuff, but man, I've got this, it's probably about a 60 pounds. I almost need help. Toolbox sitting in the back of my truck. I almost brought it in here today and just set it out there in honor of Brother Axum. But he prayed for years for family revival. And what he meant was our kids to come to the Lord, our grandkids to come to the Lord, our wives, our families to be in the church. Listen to me. It starts right here with these men. It's going to start right there because the devil will try to stop it by bringing these men down. Don't want dad to pray. Devil doesn't, because if dad prays, revival will break out. So we need to, like never before, honor these men. Respect these men and pray for these men. Men, I love you. I'm proud to serve with you. I'm proud to be a dad with you in the last days. We really are in the last days. Amen. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. Have a great day. There's no service here tonight. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap. And please stop on your way out, grab a mug, and get your picture taken.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Can I have your attention real quick? Brother Hawkins, won't you come on up? We're going to honor Brother Hawkins. We can't let our pastor go without honoring him. I'm going to turn this over to Brother Gunderman right now.
Thank you, Brother Barrow. As you all know, we have a great pastor. Amen. And we want him to know, as he honors all of the men and the fathers of our church, that we honor him. Amen. The Bible says to honor those that are worthy of honor, to give honor to where honor is due. And today we want to honor him as our pastor. And I want to say to you, Brother Hawkins, it is an honor to serve with you, my friend. God bless you. Happy Father's Day from your family.
Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you. Love you very much.
You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake hands and be friendly.